This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell on this planet. Great to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot to talk about this Tuesday, and I tell you, I want to start off with a story which is big in the news, and once again, it points right back to the so-called neocons, the Jewish neocons, and they're really not conservatives at all, by the way. Almost all the neocons, certainly the hardcore leadership of the neocons, were in fact prior Trotskyites. Yes, they were communists. And they realized that the leftist message wasn't going to get over their agenda. What was their agenda? I can tell you. They were Jewish supremacists all the way, supporters of Israel, but also leftists, like so many Jews were. Many, many Jews, of course, in the United States of America supported the Communist Party. Many Jews supported the Russian Revolution. The Russian Revolution, which again is a misnomer, the Bolshevik Revolution was not Russian. It was primarily organized by Jewish supremacists. Yes, I know that sounds crazy and wild to a lot of people listening, but that's the reality. Listen, during this program, if you want to post a comment or ask a question, you can go to stormfront.org, the town hall section. Very easy, stormfront.org, the town hall section. Or you can send me an email directly at davidduke.com. And what you have to do is just go to the David Duke site, click the email button, and send that email on. The direct email address, which changes from time to time, that's why it's good to go to the site generally and not use it in your history in terms of your email program, is simply info44@davidduke.com. That's info44@davidduke.com. That's the current address. We change that from time to time because of spam and that type of thing. By the way, we're still working on the property, and we've got a great volunteer. I've got a volunteer from Texas. I don't know if I'm at liberty to mention his name, but he's been doing the tile replacement. He's been working just day and night, and I mean, literally 17 hours. Well, maybe not that much. I would say 14 hours a day. And he's a former school teacher, by the way, who now has his own small little construction company, and he's over working on our facility here, laying tile, doing the cutouts for the what they call the hardy board, which is backing for it, doing the gluing of the tile, the cutting of the tile, and the grouting and everything. And he's put already almost 4 days just helping us out. I mean, what a courageous guy. There's a lot of people out there who are really sincere. They put their money where their mouth is. They put their time and their effort where their mouth is. There's so many people in the cause that just want to complain about the way things are, and they bellyache about how white people don't get together and how white people are no good. And I've heard that many times from people who say that they believe in our race and people, and they complain about how white people won't do anything, and white people are just, you know, lazy, and they won't stick together. And then the first time you ask them to do something to help our cause in some way, and this work is important because it's helping us do our work. It's helping us pay a little less money out than we'd have to for these repairs, which enables us to put this money into the cause. It makes a big difference when you get some volunteer labor for some work like this as compared to buying and purchasing that labor. It's a big difference. And getting the facility back into shape, it's a question of time and effort. Enables me to concentrate on what I need to do, and it's really a great help. But this is true of any organization, and it should be true of any organization, especially for our cause. In this area, you should see how many of the local churches are helping out their individual members. The individual members who suffered, for instance, floods in Lakeview. I was just watching the local news last night. Lakeview area of New Orleans, which is a very European area, probably the last redoubt, that and parts of Uptown. or the last redoubt of the European American in that great city, and where they've had terrible flooding, sometimes up to their ceilings in their homes. And there's so many churches are going out, and if they have a member who's faced flooding, they're all out, two or three dozen of them, helping clean out the homes, doing what they call the demolition of the bad walls. And so, I mean, this is necessary. I mean, this kind of working together, and if they would do that for their own members of their church, not even necessarily their pastor, not even necessarily their church organization, but for members of their church, I think that's kind of an example of what we've got to do in terms of this cause, because there's no more important cause than the one we're involved in today. This movement is the most critical movement for our people. I often say, look, if you're an animal rights activist or you're at SPCA against animal cruelty and you want to take care of animals, that's great. But try to let other people take care of that charity. We've got to take care of the most important charity, the most important action in the whole world, and that's preserving our heritage and our freedom. Because if the massive immigration continues and this control over our media continues where we don't get the true information about what's affecting us, how many Americans, for instance, have died already? Now, almost 2,000, that magic number, and the neocons are already working to try to suppress that number and make it not a big news event. 2,000, I think, Americans will soon be dead. Probably upwards between 20 and 30,000 wounded. And we saw many medical claims come years after the war in the Gulf War. And those people fought that war for about 3 weeks, essentially. These men in Iraq have been in this incredibly hostile environment and among a lot of these depleted uranium weapons and other very serious environmental hazards for a long time. They faced nervous breakdowns because of the pressure. They faced wounds that you never know how it will affect them later in their lives. I talked in one broadcast about how the cost of this war will go on for many, many years, and one analyst in the New York Times pointed out, with a very serious analyst, and a very conservative one, by the way, pointed out that this war is going to cost probably about $1.3 trillion in just the next decade or so. $1.3 trillion when you add up all the auxiliary costs. The direct costs of the war, perhaps now somewhere around $250 billion, are very minor compared to the hidden cost, the cost that you don't hear about, you don't see about. Now, let me turn to my subject. Again, you can send me an email, info44@davidduke.com, or go to stormfront.org and post your comment directly where many, many thousands can read them. We've had over 750,000 posts now reads, or views, what we call, on this thread. So a lot of people are seeing this material. So let's get excited about this and continue the work to get more people informed about what's happening to our heritage and what's happening to our way of life. Now, this Iraq war I just talked about, of course, was totally formulated by these neocons. It was driven on by them. I'm not saying that there weren't some Gentiles involved with it, like Mr. Cheney is a perfect example, and Mr. Bush. But I can tell you, this war was not their idea. This war was the idea of people like Paul Wolfowitz, who've been working for this war for years. Scooter Libby, the protege of Wolfowitz that he brought into the into government. We can go on. Douglas Feith. I mean, there's so many. I don't know who I should talk about first. Elliot Abrams. Richard Pearl, of course. He's kind of like the dynamic duo, Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz. David Wormser. Abram Shulsky, Bill Kristol, of course, the media Jewish neocon, Michael Ledeen, Stephen Bryan, John Poteritz, who does Commentary Magazine, Daniel Pipes, Donald Kagan. I mean, we can go on and on and on. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have some new breaking news over the last couple of days, and I've waited to comment upon this until I got some more of the data and I kind of digested it a little bit, because I try to get everything correctly. But we have a major scandal that's brewing. There's an article in Tuesday's paper of the Washington Post, and it's by Jim Van Delhi and Walter Pincus. And it shows now that Cheney's office is the focus in the leak case. And this is the leak. Now, those of you who are not familiar with it, let me give you a little bit of background. As you know, the Jewish neocons are working very hard for this war. And these people play for keeps. This was a war based on absolute lies, forgeries, forged documents. It was a war that was not based on the truth. And what a betrayal of our fighting men. My God, we're going to send Americans to lose their arms and legs and eyesight, you know, and be maimed for life and suffer great pain and separation from their families and perhaps even possible death, and many did die already, for a lie? No, that's the ultimate betrayal of the American fighting man. When people often accuse me, they say, well, you're being unpatriotic because you don't support this war. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if our leaders betray us and lie to us and get us into a war we should not be in, a war that actually harms America and practically bankrupts America and makes millions around the world hate us and want to kill us, if we do that, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we are not being patriotic. We're not being pro-American. This is not an American war. This is not a war for America. This is a war which has been orchestrated and created by Jewish supremacists, Jewish neocons, who wanted this war for Israel. This war has a war that's been created by men who are loyal to a government foreign to that of the United States of America, a foreign government. My God, please, people, especially those of you who are conservatives who generally want to support the president and support our fighting men. Yes, I want to support our fighting men. I want to bring them home. I'd like to put them on the Mexican-American border. Now, this is all permissible under the Constitution with the approval of any governor. We've already had governors make requests for federal help in this matter. You know, we could easily stem the illegal flow across the Mexican-American border to nothing if we simply had the will. But the people in government don't have this will. In fact, they have the opposite will. They are looking forward to this so-called multicultural America where European Americans are a minority in our own country. Well, anyway, let's go back to this war because it's quite in the formation and the policies that created this war. Because this war is an object lesson in how our enemies work and the evil and the destructiveness that they are. Okay, let's talk about it. We've got a prosecution going on right now, or at least the prosecutor's investigating the Valerie Plame leak. And this, of course, was the woman who was a CIA agent. Now, she was the wife of our ambassador in Africa named Wilson, an American ambassador. Now, Wilson had the temerity to point out that the so-called Niger uranium documents, which were forged documents, by the way, that's admitted by all sources now, that these documents were not true. And he had the temerity to come out and fight against this war. So how does these people in government, do they expose an American CIA agent? Not only is it against the law, it's a treasonous act, ladies and gentlemen. And this came out of the White House. If an American citizen purposely exposed an American agent, all right, overseas of our intelligence network, don't you see that is a treasonous act? That is a betrayal of the United States of America and an endangerment of that person and an endangerment of their mission for the United States of America. Now think about that a second, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that fact. And now the evidence is it's coming right out of Cheney's office, Vice President Cheney's, and guess who's at the heart of this leak? None other than Lewis, with a nice name, Scooter Libby. Sounds like a Midwestern American. It's no Midwestern American, my friends. It's no American that you would picture on that little scooter in the backyard of someplace in Podunk, Kansas or northern Alabama. You know, this guy is a dyed-in-the-wool Jewish supremacist. He is a neocon par excellence, and he is the protege of Paul Wolfowitz. Now, to give you some background into this whole Niger thing, this is where it all revolves around. The Niger uranium issue came out of a break-in to the embassy of the nation of Niger a couple years ago, in Italy. It was a very strange break-in because nothing was taken but a few perfume bottles. Very, very strange. Now it appears, of course, it was a break-in that could have came right out of a James Bond spy film. It was very clumsy, not too imaginative, very clumsy attempt to get stationery from the Niger embassy for which they could forge these documents alleging that Saddam Hussein was gathering uranium, enriched uranium, from this country. Of course, all that has turned out to be one big lie. This lie was promoted by President Bush himself, by Vice President Cheney, by the CIA, and by Mr. Powell. Even though a few people said, well, you better wait on this. You know, there's some questions here, and there were many things about this document which were just false from the beginning. So Wilson comes out against the war, and guess what our American president does, or at least his staff, his Jewish staff, the people like Mr. Libby, came in directly, by the way, again under Mr. Paul Wolfowitz, who's now head of the World Bank. Don't you think that influences things for Israel? You have a developing country that needs an international loan, right? And they've got to go to make sure that Mr. Wolfowitz approves of it. And Israel says, yeah, but we don't want you voting on that resolution. That, you know, Israel says, we don't want that nation voting that way in that resolution. They know what they've got to do to please Mr. Wolfowitz, a lifelong Jewish supremacist. Of course, I know. He would never use his position of power, ever, to advance his Israeli agenda, would he? Well, I have a good question about that. Don't forget, I have in my book, Jewish Supremacism, I have a very good quotation from Steven Steinlight, who was the deputy head of the American Jewish Committee, the largest Jewish organization in the United States. He was head of the national affairs of that committee, and he admits in an article he wrote for a Jewish publication that every day, as a typical Jewish young person, he saluted a foreign flag, wore a foreign uniform, was taught that Israel was the true homeland, was taught that Jews were superior to Gentiles, and that Gentiles could never be trusted. Well, Mr. Wolfowitz is just one of that crew. So now Scooter Libby, again, Scooter, I just call him Lewis Libby, because I think he's a lot more like a Lewis than he is a Scooter, at least the kind of Scooter that comes to my mind. Here he is. The evidence is absolutely overwhelming, you know, that he was responsible for literally outing an American CIA operative. A very, very serious offense, ladies and gentlemen, against the United States of America. One more time, when the Jewish supremacists come interwoven, interlocked, in this whole Iraq war scenario, this whole disaster of the Iraq war. My God, what a tragedy this war is. It is a disaster. I always thought about the debates between George Bush and Kerry. And, of course, Kerry was no better than Bush. He has the same Jewish masters, Jewish extremist masters that George Bush has. No question about it. In fact, all he could say in the debates were, we need more effort in the war, more troops. Right, we just need more people to be killed, more expenditure of American dollars to make the world hate us in a war based on lies. In a war based on lies. But he missed his opportunity. Boy, I wish I would have been in that debate for president, because I knew that I could have taken George Bush down really easy. When he talked about the war was winning, I would have got up there and said, Mr. President, you know, this war is an absolute disaster for America. It is accomplishing the exact opposite of everything that we desire it to accomplish. It is helping Osama bin Laden. It is helping the enemies of America. It is fostering enormous hatred against America all over the world. I know there's some of you, and I get these letters, and they'll say, oh, no, they would hate us anyway. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. They only hate America because we're involved in their business, in the regional events of their country. We got involved supporting Israel in their land grab. Israel right now is building settlements on stolen land, segregated settlements only available to Jews on stolen land from the Palestinians, people who were kicked and terrorized out of their own property. And America, America is supposed to be the land of justice and fairness. And Israel could not do any of this except for the fact that the United States has been basically taken over, our foreign policy anyway, taken over in our Congress by these Jewish extremists who now have the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C., in the American Congress, a lobby that almost no congressmen and senators can seriously oppose. Not one congressman or senator can talk as frankly as I talk right now. They might beat around the bush, a few of them, a dozen or two, mostly black, I must say, and cheers for them. You know, cheers for those that do that. And the reason why is that they have a lot less political obligation to the Jews. And the black people work pretty hard together. However, we've had a situation where a black congressman, in fact, was unseated by the Jews because they didn't want one black congressman in a black area who dared to talk about the crimes of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an American, and I believe in putting the interest of America first. And this entire affair is this Valerie Plame affair, this outing of a CIA agent, shows indeed the absolute bankruptcy, the bankruptcy and the evil, I hate to say it that way, and I hate to sound so radical, of this administration. Boy, Jesus Christ said it so well when he said, you know, that these people, they're like... they're like the whited sepulchres. They're like the tombs. They're all pretty and marble and bright and lit and torchlit on the outside, but inside, he says, they're full of dead men's bones. And all the pronouncements that George Bush makes about, oh, this is what America needs, and he's a patriotic and loyal American, the real reality of it is tens of thousands of Americans lying in hospitals without their hands, without their eyes, without the ability to ever walk again, without the ability maybe to ever have children again with their wives back home, without, you know, and many of them who will come home in a box. In fact, in the controlled society, and every day, every month, every year, we live in a more and more controlled society. The Patriot Act, of course, is taking away our liberties. You know, the way to fight al-Qaeda was to take all our energy and effort into tracking down al-Qaeda and any individual group that came in to attack the United States of America. It was not about launching these global wars, making more people hate us. So there's all these Americans laying and are coming back home, many of them in great physical pain. You have Americans who are struggling to keep their businesses together and, in effect, keep their families together, who are struggling to keep their jobs. But jobs are laying off. Why? Because the price of gas is going crazy. Why is gas going crazy? Gone crazy in terms of its prices? Well, primarily because of this Mideast conflict, ladies and gentlemen, that's driven the price of oil and gas through the roof. And how about these other aspects? How about all the money being spent over in Iraq rather than spent in America? You know, you spend a dollar at home, and they say it circulates about seven times over. Because say you have an American military man at home, he goes to an American grocery store, and the American grocery store hires people. And those people, they pay them, and they go out and buy their groceries and their items and their automobiles from America. But when you send money overseas, where does that money go, ladies and gentlemen? Where does that massive amount of money go? When you fire a bullet, yes, you got one thing. You get the bullets manufactured by that company back home. But once that bullet's fired over there, overseas, that's pretty much it. It's done. It's a huge deficit of payments problem to have Americans stationed overseas. We are spending tens of billions and billions of dollars even to have all these bases. I think in over 60 countries now of the world, we have American bases. What are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? There is no more evil empire. There is no more Soviet government. They had to come up with this whole Jewish, this Iraq war. They had to come up with this war on terror. They had to. Now, I'm not a conspiracy person. I don't think George Bush planned the 9/11 attacks, but I do believe that Israel had prior knowledge of this attack, wanted this attack to go on, no question about it. And I think that we've played into the hands of Israel by the way we responded to these attacks. And I'm like any other American. I think it's horrendous what happened in New York on 9/11. I think it's absolutely horrible what occurred. But the situation is, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot afford for this to keep going the way it's going. That what we're doing, the reason why we got into this conflict, and we've got to look and see what brought this on. This didn't happen in a vacuum. It wasn't that these Arab Islamics simply wanted to come attack America because they hated our way of life. That's again the typical of the lies that are being preached to our people constantly. You know, and it's just, I've got to catch this 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. So that was, again, that was some of the work that's being done, so I'm trying to get this, excuse the interruptions, but that's the way it is. We're trying to get all this completed. I've got to get on the road. I've got a number of appearances coming up in the next few days and weeks, and I've got to get this work finished at the house. We'll be doing some more work this Saturday, so if you still want to do some volunteer work, come on out. We'd be happy to have you, because I think there'll still be some work to be done. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the latest on this thing. I think there's going to be some indictments on this issue. And let me check some of our emails. And again, you can go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, if you have any comments. And this is interactive radio. And by the way, even if you listen to this program later on being archived, and it will be archived in just a few minutes after the show, let me know and let me know what you think. So. Oh, I just got a note from my good friend James M, and he says Cheney may be stepping down for Condoleezza Rice. Like people say Condi Rice. I like Condoleezza because that kind of says what she is. You know, Condoleezza Rice. That, talk about affirmative action, Secretary of State. It's absolutely incredible. The woman is way, way, way out of her element, even with our little, you know, Jewish neocon advisors that stand around and tell her what to say. She is so far out of her element. It is incredible. But maybe she's set up for become vice president. The Republicans, again, trying to make some inroads into the black vote. Ha ha. I don't think, like one black person said the other day, I read this on one of the black national publications. They said, you know, George Bush is right now would get less votes in the black community than David Duke. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, it's not because of his viewpoints. I mean, the Republican Party does everything they can to corral in those black votes, and they really don't succeed. I think the most they ever might get is 6%. Heck, I got a couple percent, you know, maybe 2 or 3% in my race. That's not many. But what happens is the Republican Party spends all of its time and energy trying to corral in some of the black votes while they let the white working vote go. So that's kind of interesting. James M. also says, he says, excellent what you're saying about Plumgate. The dean is suspected to be involved. It's another Jewish supremacist, Mr. Ledeen. It just goes on and on and on. This is from C and K. He says, or CR, excuse me. He says, first time visitor to your site, and I recently read Bernard Goldberg's book, which listed you as one of the 100 people screwing up America. As a conservative Republican, it always surprises me how the Democrats can revere a man like Robert Byrd, but demonize you for your activity with the KKK years ago. Beside the point, my question for you is that your obvious intellect, wouldn't it be better to shed your racist beliefs and join the conservative movement in an effort to change America? Would that not lend credibility to some of your opinions? Well, sir, it depends on what you call racist beliefs. You know, I don't consider myself a racist, because a racist is defined these days as someone who hates other races and wants to suppress them or hurt them or harm them. But I certainly am conscious of my European heritage, and I want to preserve that heritage and preserve our people's freedom and well-being. I want to make sure this nation remains primarily a European nation with the same values of our forefathers. Otherwise, we'll have a whole country like we have in New Orleans. You know, we talked a lot about the violence and everything in New Orleans, absolute violence. And we had recent similar violence in Toledo. People acting more like savages in the middle of Africa than Americans. Not all blacks, but certainly too many behaving in this capacity. So for me to talk about these things, if they call me a racist, I guess they're just going to have to call me a racist. I am not one, but that's how they define it. It's funny, they call me a racist, but here's Israel, a nation that has laws against Jews marrying a non-Jew, that even within the Jewish faith, the Jewish member, the elite, the priest class, the Kohanim can't even marry a Jew who's got some mixed ancestry generations back who is actually a practicing Jew. They have strict immigration laws in Israel. They have segregation for Jews in schools, segregation for schools and housing. You know, CR, can't you see the hypocrisy? No, it would not be better for me to shed my beliefs for the preservation of European Americans if we don't have men and women who stand up openly for the preservation of our heritage and way of life, you know, of our people. It really boils down to two words. I use it all the time, heritage and freedom. We will cease to exist. Our people are being ethnically cleansed in this country, in many of our cities, many of our states, much of our land. Same thing's true in Canada. Same thing's true in Europe. Same thing's true around the world. We have a media that's completely in the grasp of people who despise our heritage and culture and do everything they can to destroy it. I had good articles on my website just a few days ago from a Jewish researcher by the name of Abrams talking about how the fact that the pornography racket, the pornography, it's pervasive now, of course, in America. It's like considered part of Americana. There's hardly a 10-year-old little boy anymore or girl who hadn't seen a pornographic excerpt, some pornographic films or the filthiest kind of perverted types of pornography. Everything from degradation to sadomasochism, defecation. My God, ladies and gentlemen. And Abrams talks about the fact that this pornography was completely dominated and pushed and supported by this Jewish minority. And they've dominated the efforts for so-called multiculturalism and multiracialism and intermarriage. I was watching program the other day on the Birth of a Nation. And again, it's a good example. Birth of a Nation was the greatest film probably ever made in America. It wasn't as technically great as those ones today, but for its time, there's never been a film that was more advanced for its time than Birth of a Nation. And this portrayed traditional European-American values, things that were embraced by the American people. And the film got a wonderful reaction. President Wilson called it lightning, history enlightening. And yet we watched it. The American people watched the review of this film on AMC, American Movie Classics, and they call it Movies That Shook the World. And I tell you, 90% of the reviewers of this film would tell us how to think about this film. This is for everybody to watch. We're blacks, liberals, and Jews. Primarily blacks and Jews, and a few liberals thrown in. They gave me 40 seconds later. They came and interviewed me for an hour and a half and gave me 40 damn seconds on this program. And this is what they do on every issue, every idea. This is how they operate. And this is why we're in the trouble we're in this country. If we don't break this cabal, and I'll call it a cabal, this Jewish extremist cabal, it's not all Jews, but my God, they control the Jewish community, they control the Council of Jewish Presidents, which is the 134 largest Jewish groups, they control they control the media, they control our foreign policy, they run the neocons that have done this terrible, strategically devastating and truly anti-American war in Iraq. You know, if we don't begin to break their power in America, if we don't rise up and say we want an honest and fair press, if we don't rise up and say we want an honest and fair political system, that we know democracy as they push right now in Washington, D.C. is a fraud. We need election reform. Every candidate should get free mailings. We can do that very cheaply. Every candidate should get free time on the airwaves. These are all responsible. These are multi-billion-dollar concerns. Free candidate time. Where a candidate does not get one penny of special interest money, where big money doesn't determine elections, but a man's ideas and his principles. But they can't have that. Even Steven Steinlight himself, in the article that I quote from, says, hopefully we won't have campaign finance reform because then our Jewish power will be diluted. Well, of course. That you want to hear, you want to know what the obstruction to real campaign finance reform has been? It's the Jewish supremacists. They control our campaigns through money. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not democracy when you have candidates basically chosen by how many television commercials somebody has on. And TV commercials are about as true to the truth as Superman really can fly and really existed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a battle for our survival. And to my friend who wrote, you know, please, for God's sakes, wake up. If you're a conservative, if you believe in the traditions and the values of this country, wake the blank up, please. If you don't, you know, we're just not going to make it. You know, we're not going to survive. You know, I had Stormfront back up here, and now I kind of lost it. Let me see what I can do, because I better check our post for Stormfront, and then we're going to lock it down for the day. I think it's been a heck of a show today. Hope you agree, and a lot of interesting material was covered. Okay, what do we have here? All right, let's see. Well, Messiah says, you know, on all levels of life, it becomes curiouser and curiouser. Boy, that's the truth. Rational nationalism says, dear Mr. Duke, do you agree with the notion Francis Parker Yockey employs in Imperium that rationalism is a dangerous and one-sided ideology which relies on the omnipotence of reason and undermines faith? Well, we're talking about some higher philosophical aspects here. You know, I believe in faith and I believe in ideals, but I also think that ideals and faith must have some sort of root in logic and nature. And I think nature is logical. At the same time, we've got to get in touch with those spiritual things within us, which is not necessarily logical. Passion, courage. It's not necessarily logical almost for someone to evidence courage where he risks his own life and his own well-being for that of his fellow man, for his fellow nation, for his fellow race, for his fellow country. And, you know, so I believe in faith, and I also believe in the greatness of science. And I think that the way our enemies are perverting our faith, they're using that to try to change our way. In fact, egalitarianism and multiracialism today, and even diversity, it's almost a religion. In fact, it is a religion in the real sense of the term. Okay, we're just going on down. We've got a lot more to go here. This is a quotation from Dr. Kevin McDonald, posted by Northern Bastion. He says, quote, the present Judaized cultural imperium in the West is maintained by a pervasive thought control propagated by the mass media and extending to self-censorship by academics, politicians, and others well aware of the dire personal and professional consequences of crossing the boundaries of acceptable thought and speech about Jews and Jewish issues. It is maintained by a zealously promulgated self-serving and essentially false theories of the nature and the history of Judaism and the nature and causes of anti-Semitism. Boy, that's a good one. Got a real long one from Thor 9999, but I just can't go into that long post at this point. If you want me to take your posts on the air, you need to make them a paragraph or less. This is from Son of Thunder. He says, Dr. Duke, looking forward to getting your new book. I acquired the My Awakening book after hearing you on Pastor Pete Peter's radio program a few years back. I reference that book often. Your outgoing mailings, but to date now, I can't wait to get it. In his service, Bill. Bill, we mailed out almost 2 weeks ago now, and the mail's been very slow going out. I want to know from anyone listening, who's listening right now, please, if you've gotten the David Duke Report, the current issue, I think is 76, not 75, it's 76. On the cover, we have, what does the cover have again, the picture of the cover? We have the New Orleans situation. New Orleans descends into savagery of the David Duke Report. I'd like to know if you've received that yet. As soon as you get it, send me an email, info44@davidduke.com. In fact, anybody listening, please, at this moment, or even if you listen in archives a few hours later from this broadcast, if you have received the issue number 76 of the David Duke Report, the one featuring the disaster of Katrina, and also has got a really fine updated article on Rabbi Shmuley in the middle of it, that's number 76. If you receive that issue, please send me an email, let me know. And you can post here on Stormfront if you've gotten that current edition. I'd like to know. It's really been poor. I've not even got the editions that we send here to my own home. And I hope there's been no shenanigans in the Postal Service, because it's a very expensive proposition. It costs us, you see, ladies and gentlemen, just to do the postage and the printing and the other aspects of this publication. It costs us around $4,500 to $5,000 a month just to put this publication out. And if we lose one of these as it's been, we were a month late. More than a month and a half late because of the storm, which we got no money in, and we got some money, but we got much less money than we need to really pay the bills that we have. And by the way, that's one reason why we need your support right now. And now we're having a very big delay in our mail. So I'm very concerned about that. It may be simply because of the problems with the hurricane. We can't go through our New Orleans distribution center right now, so it may be going through Baton Rouge or some other city or Memphis, and maybe that's what's slowing it down. But I need to know, and in fact, any time that you receive this, whether you received it already, if you get it tomorrow, the next couple of days, or within the next week, you get it, please just send me an email, so easy, info44@davidduke.com, and let me know that you received the Duke Report and when it arrived at your home. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. I've got to go for the day, and I've got to get back and do some more work. I'm trying to get all this work done so I can fulfill my obligations. I've got a whole kit and caboodle of commitments, speaking, media appearances, meetings and consultations. I'm helping a lot of candidates in different places of the world in terms of giving them some knowledge about elections, people of our persuasion, of course. I'm doing it for free. You know, this is one thing that I do. I'm trying to, in fact, they're struggling, many of these in their own campaigns. They don't have money for someone like me. It's not like the American huge moneyed politics over there. But I'm trying to offer what I can. I do what I can to help our cause. And whatever you do to help me be able to do that traveling and do that speaking and put me up at a fairly inexpensive room and travel, you know, economy with the cheap tickets, whatever you can do to help me do those things, I appreciate it very, very much. And I know that our people appreciate it. People in this cause appreciate it because that's what it's all about. I love our people, our heritage. I truly love our country, but I don't love what it's becoming. I don't love the fact that so many of our people are facing such a dire situation today. And I certainly appreciate and am so thankful for those of you who show some courage. You don't just complain about the way things are and bellyache about white people and the fact that white people aren't doing enough and what so hypocritical it is when they do that, and actually lend a hand, lend a shoulder, and help us move our fellow American toward the truth, toward the light, and toward a new and better society. It will happen if we simply have the courage and the honor and the loyalty and really the guts. That's the best thing. The courage. I guess that's where it goes down. A simple word for courage is guts. The guts to stand up and do what's got to be done. And we need to act legally, decently, honestly, but we've got to get out there, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to do the job that we have to do. I'm talking about legally changing the consensus of our people around the world. Thanks so much, and I will definitely be with you tomorrow. And until then, God bless you. Take care, and let's go out and convert the world. Thanks.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.